312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, and I'm here until 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up, Dave Plyer's got his show tonight. Also, we talked about some of the shows that are debuting. Home Sweet Home Chicago, David Hochberg show, is tomorrow at 10 a.m. And Bob Surratt coming up Monday morning at 5 a.m. All that stuff here on WGN Radio. As we were just talking about before the news, we're talking about the show 20 by 2, which is 20 speakers, one question, 2 minutes each. This happens at Shuba's, what do you say, quarterly?
Yeah, it's quarterly now. We were once a year, then we went to twice a year.
Oh, look
and
at you.
We went quarterly this past fall.
The organizer, Andrew Huff, is in studio. Andrew Huff is a longtime Chicagoan who used to run Gaper's Block, and he now produces 20 by 2, which will be at Shuba's on Sunday night. It has 20 great Chicago performers, including myself. And the theme is, who do you think you are? Andrew, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too.
So where did this show come from? Was I wrong? Because I was trying to think of the origin story, because I did one of the original ones, and it was kind of off of South by Southwest.
Yeah.
How did it work?
You've got that right. It is a show that started in Austin in 2001. This will be the 20th year.
Oh, my gosh.
I just booked my travel down. I'm going to go to the 20th show.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. They're talking about it being the final one at South by. We'll see if that is the case. They definitely have plans to expand it beyond that if it is the last one there. But yeah, so it started at South by Southwest Interactive, getting 20 of the folks who are coming to the show, plus, intermixed with some local Austin artists, musicians, personalities.
Yeah, right.
And it was just three guys who started doing it as an after show program.
How did you get involved, and how did you bring it to Chicago?
Yeah, so I used to go. You mentioned I used to publish Gaper's Block. I started going to South by in 2003, and that was one of the first things I went to that first year, and thought it was amazing. When I realized I was going to be able to make it the next year, I immediately emailed them and said, "Hey, I'd love to speak at it." As I just continued to go, I think I went maybe 12 years in a row to South by, to 20 by 2 as well.
Right.
I started helping out, wrangling speakers. It always takes place in a bar. It's a large crowd. Not all of the speakers' minds are maybe necessarily on getting up on stage at a given moment.
right.
So,
it's your turn, buddy.
Exactly. So, we'd have to go search them out, maybe on the patio or whatever. Eventually got involved and convinced them to come do a show in Chicago in 2010 at Martyrs, and it went fantastically. And then it took me three more years to convince them to let me do a show here every year. 2013 was the first time we did it.
Wild.
It was great.
And now it's at Shuba's, which is the great spot right there on Belmont and Southport.
Yeah.
You know, the show takes a theme, and this theme is a question. It's usually something that it's going to be open-ended. This year, like I said, it's who do you think you are? Where do you come up with these themes, these questions for the performers to perform?
Yeah, we have a Google Doc, essentially. My producing partner, James Allensbach, and I just brainstorm questions, mostly on sort of the 5 W's, who, what, where, when, why, how kind of questions, but then also some unusual, open-ended stuff. It's one of the rules is that we never use the same question twice. So this will be the only time that who do you think you are will be used. And I'm really glad that you're in part of it.
I'm excited about it. I did one before. I forgot what it was, I did a bit. What's the hardest thing for this show? Is it wrangling the guests? Is it getting the guests there? Is it keeping them to time? What is it that's the toughest thing about producing 20 by 2?
Right. No, I'd say number one is getting 20 people. It's a large show. But very fast-paced, and getting 20 interesting folks who tend to be doing interesting things and being very busy, this isn't the first thing they're thinking of.
Right.
It's not a bunch of actors. That's hard.
Not only that, but they, because of the conceit, because you're taking on a theme, who do you think you are, it becomes more difficult for these performers to just go into their own old material because it has nothing to do with the theme, so they have to come up with something.
Yeah, it's going to be original, unless they happen to have something that fits.
Right.
And that's rare. There have been a couple, but it's definitely rare. But then the other thing is just making sure they hit that 2-minute mark. So we
it's fast.
It is
two
fast.
Minutes.
It goes much quicker than you think. But it also feels like a long time when you're up there on stage. So it's easy to lose track and end up rambling or just, you think, even if you practice ahead of time, you think you're going to hit that mark, that 2-minute mark.
Yeah, I know.
And when you get up there, the audience is reacting, so they're clapping or they're laughing,
right.
So you're pausing, and you end up losing track and going over a little bit.
Do you put a little hook or something? Sound effect?
For one, it's a... we should. We do have a timer that's up on stage, which they can see.
Okay.
We make it a soft 2 minutes. We tell them, if you go over 2:10, 2:15, that's fine. Just wrap it up as soon as you can. After about that, we're going to start looking for opportunities to clap. And that'll be their cue. Okay, you're done.
You're done.
And if they really lose it, I've walked up on stage behind somebody before. Yeah, it's unusual, but it has happened.
Why is it? They just have no respect whatsoever for the conceit. I mean, going into it, you have 2 minutes.
So there was one of the times we were helping out in Austin. There was a rapper and spoken word poet who had this beautiful prepared piece, and probably 15 seconds from the end of his piece, he lost his place. There was a line that repeated throughout it, and he forgot which one he was on and couldn't pick it up. And so, we were, everybody was very supportive. We were encouraging him to try to find it, timer be damned. But as he figured it out, he finally, he tried a couple of times, and then all of a sudden he just started rambling for a good 10 minutes about what he was up to and what he was trying to say, and we just couldn't get in a word edgewise. We couldn't even, he ignored clapping. It was uncomfortable.
Right.
But, that's rare. That's really unusual.
But luckily, you've given me that since I'm performing, so if something goes wrong with the performance, I can just
No.
I'll just keep going. 10 minutes.
You could.
I could.
we'll be signaling to the sound guy.
Here comes
to
Coffin.
Turn off the microphone now.
The theme is Who Do You Think You Are? The show is 20x2 Chicago. It's at Shuba's coming up on Sunday. There are a lot of great. I'm going to get into this. We'll take a quick break. Andrew Huff is here. He is one of the organizers and the former publisher for Gaper's Block, which I want to talk to you as well about that. But we'll talk about some of the performers that are going to be a part of this performance, which is, like I said, coming up Sunday at Shuba's. More here on the show with Andrew Huff in just a moment. Stay with us. In studio, Andrew Huff, who is the organizer of 20x2 Chicago, which is going to be on stage at Shuba's coming up this Sunday to take 20 performers in Chicago, each getting 2 minutes apiece to take on a theme this year, or this show. The theme is Who Do You Think You Are? Quarterly show here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You got 20 people together.
Yep.
And the goal, I would assume, is to be diverse in comedy, in seriousness. I remember the show I did before. There was a lot of funny stuff, but then there was some serious stuff. So is that, when you're putting together 20 performers, how much do you have to really kind of think about how they kind of come together?
You definitely do have to think about that. We try to make sure that the show is very diverse. It's usually 50-50 male and female. We try to get as close to parity with the diversity of in every sense, really. The contributors, the speakers, are of all sorts of different backgrounds. We've got a couple of professors. We've got comedians. We have filmmakers. We have writers. And so we try to make sure there's a bit of a mix. I think the show wouldn't be quite as interesting if it was all writers.
Right.
For one thing, it'd just be 20 people getting up and speaking for 2 minutes.
Their papers in their hands shaking while they got the beer in the other hand. How many shows in Chicago have I seen of the live lit scene of them doing that?
So we're looking for a diversity of answer types as well. It really is anything goes. If you can do it on a stage at Shuba's, it's welcome.
Do you try to find people with stage experience? Because I remember the last time there were some that were doing slideshows or were trying to do different things, but it seemed like there was a lot of nerves in the room.
In a positive way, definitely. Yeah. I try to make sure that there's a mix. We always have a couple of veterans in the show because it's nice to have somebody who knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. But we don't disqualify somebody just because they've never been on stage before. If they're interesting and have a cool perspective on the question and are willing to do it, that's enough.
Yeah.
So for instance, this time, I don't think we have anybody who's never been on stage before. Actually, that's not true. I think Amy Carlton, who's was a Gapers Block contributor,
yeah,
one
absolutely.
Of the founding contributors.
She's a great writer. Yeah.
And a Reddit writer. She she now interviews people for the American Library Association's magazines. Recently talked to Dolly Parton.
Oh, and, awesome. Yeah.
So
she's on stage.
So she's going to be on stage. She's normally our timekeeper. But she liked this question enough that she decided to do
awesome.
It.
Well, you got such great people. Lily B, who has been a guest with us, she took us to her neighborhood and in our Neighborhoods Matter series.
Yeah.
Shannon Downey, who's great, who is actually a crafter. I didn't even think of her as necessarily someone who gets up on stage, but she does both. Yeah,
yeah, and she's just been in the news quite a bit for the Rita's Quilt Project. She came across an unfinished quilt at an estate sale, where it turned out that the person who had started it was 99 when she died, and had just picked it back up from the 70s to start putting it together. And so she got crafters from all over the world to finish embroidering those panels and putting it together.
That's
awesome.
That's
on tour.
Jenny Spinner, of course, Don Washington, Don's work, and also one of my buddies, Steve Delahoyd, who is one of the best filmmakers in Chicago.
Right.
He does not get enough credit for the work that he's done, and I have had the good fortune of, he's been on this program, he's done The Worst and other things with us, which has been fun, but his work has just evolved to now he's never in town anymore, because he's constantly doing national commercials for people, because he just took off as a filmmaker. So Chicago's lost, but I'm glad he's back to do this.
It's funny, he's done the show a couple of times in the past, and despite being a filmmaker, he has always done a spoken word piece.
Well, he's super funny. Aaron.
Yeah.
He's super funny.
He is.
That's awesome. How fun. All right. 20 by 2 Chicago, which will be on stage at Shuba's on Sunday. I'll be there with my plus one, Walter Jacobson.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Walter Jacobson is coming with me. He's my celebrity that I'm going to interview on stage.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. I love it. It's great for him to come out and do this. So if you want to come see Walter Jacobson and myself do a interview in the 20 by 2 show, it's on Sunday night. Doors open at 6:30. Is that the idea?
Doors at 6:30. The show starts at 7, right on the dot.
And if they say Justin plus one, they're good to go.
Good. Yeah.
There you go. Do you miss doing Gapers Block? I tried to tell the listeners, some may not remember, but we had you on as an exit interview for that.
Right.
Gapers Block was a great Chicago news organization that was in Chicago that you shuttered a couple years back. Now, do you miss it?
I do. It shuttered actually 3 years ago on January 1st.
Wow.
That was last year, the last day in 2016. I do miss it. I especially miss the calendar section. We were talking off air about that. I've not yet found a calendar that incorporates both music and all the cultural events, political events that really hits everything.
Because there have been parts of what you guys did at Gapers Block that have been picked up, and I've seen this mostly in email newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Sharone comes on, she does a Daily Line. Charlie Meyerson does the great piece he does.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot of people who are doing what at the core Gapers Block was doing before its time.
Right.
But you're right, you're not seeing someone step in and organize Chicago's cultural events in the way that you guys do.
Yeah. We also were a sort of a testing ground, or a place where new reporters and just writers could get experience and find their place in journalism and continue to move up. I don't think there's really a place like that yet. I think City Bureau has some programs that citizen reporters can get involved in. And Block Club Chicago, I think, has a little bit of that. They definitely do cover the city in the way that we hoped to.
Mm-hmm.
It was unique, and it is a bit of a shame that there isn't something new like it.
Robert Feeder kind of teased out that there's going to be another local town hall journalism that we that was a couple years ago that I know was a big thing. And at that time, I remember there was so much talk about Gaper's Block and Chicagoist and other you know, sort of digital sites leading the way into the future of journalism. And you bat your eye 10 years later, whatever it's been since that summit that brought together traditional news and digital news, and those sites are all gone.
And
an interesting moment here in 2020 to look back and also look forward to say that there were all these prophecies that digital journalism was going to be the future, but it didn't necessarily play out that way, or isn't playing out that way. It seems like the newspaper companies, the New York Times, Washington Post, they have gone to a digital model, but the, almost the digital sites that we came to love have disappeared.
Yeah. Although I don't think it's a complete vacuum. There are new sites. I mean, Block Club, for instance. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Third Coast Review, which was started by a group of Gaper's Block alum. And there are other things that have come up in its place. But I think what we're seeing right now is just a continuation of that experiment. I mean, it's 10 years in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of news, is really short. You know, in the first 10 years of, or even the first 20 years of television, for instance, you saw nothing but live shows and no ads to something by the 20 years later, something very similar to what we see now. So I think we're still in that sort of, that period where we're figuring out what it all looks like.
You know, for you to think back to those days and where you were heralded as an innovator, as someone who was pushing the medium forward. You see now with news sites and that many are almost foregoing the idea of setting up websites. They'll either play off of social media sites or, in when I mentioned the email newsletter, where they don't even need it. They don't really have a Chicago Public Square site. There is one, but the goal is that it's delivered to your inbox. Do you see that being the future? I mean, it's from someone who's been in the business that you're going to see more news sites, especially startups and independent entrepreneurs, take different routes to deliver and distribute as than just having a website?
Yeah, I think it's definitely an option. You don't necessarily need a website. I mean, you could just do an app. You could definitely do email. I subscribe to quite a few emails. I get Public Square. I get Block Club's emails for my neighborhood. But I also still go to those websites. I think it needs to be a combination. Really, what I think the lesson of the last 10 years has been is you need to be everywhere your audience might be able to find you, whether that's Twitter and Facebook or a website or an app. Just be there.
For, you know, when you look at the ecosystem and you mentioned some of the sites like Block Club and Third Coast Review and others like that, but you see what's happened at the Tribune and you know, there's concern about what the future is as they are getting, you know, bought and sold at the corporate level. Or you look at the Sun-Times, which it seems like every 3 months the bell rings for whether or not that organization is going to continue.
Yeah.
Are you positive as someone who's been in the media? Are you positive about where news is going, or are you feeling the dire warnings that people are talking about?
Oh, I'm definitely feeling the dire warnings. It does feel like we're at another point where we're going to shed a big layer, a whole lot of the old media. You know, and it's really it's unfortunate because it was so many self-inflicted wounds. You know, the huge debt that the Zelle Corporation, the Zelle Group, brought on the Tribune, which maybe wasn't doing great before that, but it certainly didn't help.
Yeah.
You know, taking on all that debt right at the dot-com bust, or I guess
and the real Michael Farrow experiments at the Sun-Times.
And on the Farrow, yeah, exactly. You know, it's a shame, but my hope is that out of that, sort of out of the ashes, we'll see something new rise up. You know, this is too big of a city for there not to be any newspaper. And hopefully, you know, if the Sun-Times goes away and the Tribune ends up being a sliver of its former self, something else will come in and take it over.
Not to bore people too much at the end of this conversation about financial models and how people succeed, but you were a big part of being a part of that conversation, whether it was grants or not-for-profits. Do you see now, as you look at 2020 and being out of the business for 3 years or so, 4 years, do you see new models approaching? Do you see some of the things that were prophesized or people predicting come to fruition?
Yeah. I mean, Block Club and Reader now even are doing subscriptions. digital subscriptions. I subscribe to a couple of podcasts. I think that's finally come around. We've got the sort of the payment technology mm-hmm. to the point where that's feasible.
That was really what was holding back a lot of startups. The technology.
It was holding us back. I was working 68-hour weeks basically for nothing because we couldn't figure out how to sell enough ads to support myself, let alone pay anybody else.
Right.
I think if we were to launch today, we'd be able to throw up a Patreon or go with a subscription model that would at least fund some of what we did, if not all of it.
Is Chicago a good place for media?
Yeah.
Do you think
it's
a good place for startups and people to try something that aren't the big papers?
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, it's a town that has a ton of news, and nobody is covering all of it. So it's a place where you can find a niche and cover it well, even if that niche is just summarizing what's happened today.
Yeah.
And it's feasible.
The show is 20 by 2, Chicago. It's at Shuba's coming up on Sunday. I'll be there along with 19 other performers. Andrew Huff is the organizer of 20 by 2 Chicago and also the former publisher of Gaper's Block, which was a great digital news site that went under, 4 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez, man. It was such a must read, and it was a big part of
thanks.
Both Pete and I were talking about how it was a big part of our lives. So
yeah.
Great to have you here, buddy, and see you on Sunday, and look forward to conversing more at a later time.
Sounds great. Thanks.